want to bring in Steve Sosnick. You know, he's the Interactive Brokers chief strategist, friend of the show. And, you know, Steve, I'm surprised to see the market reacting more to the Federal Reserve's pivot this week than what we're seeing on the COVID front. I mean, this is a big ongoing problem. Do you think the market has to correct to adjust for it?
Good morning, Brian. To some extent, yes. And I think we're starting to see that in the reaction. Let's say, you know, the sort of the schizophrenic reaction down, 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 up, then back down that we're getting. You know, I think that there's also this feeling in the U.S., though, that we're not going to do too much about it. Those who are vaccinated are living one set of lives, and those who aren't are in another, and different states are going to do different things. I think the market is saying that they don't see a big will for lockdown in the U.S. And I think that's the reality that we're going to face in the short term. And I think the market is just sort of saying, look, you know, this is not a good thing. We know it. But what from an economic point of view, if there's no change in that much, if there's not a huge behavioral change, then, you know, it's a human problem, but it's not necessarily a market problem, at least for now.
Well, and that's interesting, Steve, that you say that, because, you know, you could sort of see that in the trade that we were watching yesterday. Now, on the one hand, we're hearing a lot of companies now that are delaying return to office plans, right? You've got Apple and Alphabet saying indefinitely, right? They don't know when they're bringing employees back. Jefferies is now telling employees to work from home, at least for now. And then you see the other list here. Of course, there was also that JP Morgan big healthcare conference. It's going to be virtual in January. So if people were paying a lot of attention to this and putting a lot of stock in this, one would think that you would see a big return to tech stocks, for example, and other stocks that were working during the pandemic. And yet that wasn't necessarily what we were seeing yesterday. But it also felt odd on the rates front. It didn't, in other words, it's not like we were seeing a spike in rates that was causing the sell-off in tech stock. So it's just, what can we even make of the action over the past couple of days?
It is disjointed. This is what happens when you have, you know, markets that are, you know, up sharply into year end, throw in a Fed meeting that's not necessarily market friendly. It wasn't as unfriendly as it could have been, and throw in a quarterly expiration today. And so you're going to get some wacky moves. That is more or less the recipe for volatility. And I think that's what we're seeing. You know, on the bond front, I find it interesting. I think the bond market is still, you know, the 2 years don't seem to be reflecting the full dot plot, but I think that's just as much a function of the idea that there's still, yesterday was a record in terms of reverse repos, which means that there was $1.6 trillion that had nothing better to do than go to the Fed and seek 5 basis points. So there's still a lot of, you know, I'm going to call it fixed income cash that's sloshing around out there, and that's definitely having still a distorting effect. I think you're not going to see the full effect of what the Fed's trying to do until we sort of work through that pig in a python, so to speak, of all that excess cash. Remember, they're still adding it to the economy.
Steve, you write in your morning note today, quote, "The rises in the major indices were obscuring broader market malaise behind the scenes." What type of malaise are you talking about here?
For example, the highs on Friday were not at all confirmed by the advanced decline line, which is sort of a basic one. We're seeing narrowing leadership. New highs, new lows have not been at all commensurate with the type of things that you would see at or near a new market high. You're actually seeing lows outpacing highs. And this is telling you that the leadership has been getting more narrow. And you can do that when you have essentially 7 companies that make up a quarter of the S&P 500 and 50% of the NDX. The problem is a day like yesterday, when the market decides they want to take profits in those 7 companies, and it drags everything lower. The problem when you have narrowing leadership is if that leadership turns, it can be very crowded if people want to seek the exits. And I think that's kind of what we saw yesterday. It's hard to disassemble what is year-end profit taking, what is just lightening up your books. But, you know, when we saw, for example, Apple rise 20% in a month, without an obvious catalyst, the real news story that affected Apple was they warned their suppliers that they were going to be light on iPhones, but yet the stock rallied 20%. We're giving a lot of that back. And I think that's, you know, sort of the market working through some of the excesses. And I think some position square, I think you had this rush to get into Apple before the end of the year. And now this sort of moment of, ooh, wait a minute, if everybody's in it, where am I going to go? And I think that's the kind of mentality that you see reflected in the market to some degree.
And let's also focus in on your area of expertise traditionally, which is options, right? You mentioned expiration that is happening today. And we are also seeing, I don't know if it's record open interest in terms of options activity, but it's close to record, right? And so as we see these moves, how much are they magnified by what's happening in the options market? Is that like, kind of walk us through the effect that is having on everything else you're describing?
Sure. Well, one of my little weekly mantras is, you know, every time a stock crosses an expiring option strikes, some trader has to rehedge, kind of borrowing from It's a Wonderful Life there a little bit. Mm-hmm. But this is the case. And somebody needs to rehedge. And we've seen this massive call speculation. That's been individual investors adopting equity options in an unprecedented manner, in a way that those of us who've been lifers in the option business never could have dreamed of. But what this does is it forces the street to rehedge around it. And everybody says, oh, it's the market makers on the other side. With this much open interest, it's not just market makers on the other side. It's individuals, it's trading firms, it's everybody all over the place. But you see these effects, particularly on expiration. For example, this morning we saw the futures take a big leg lower, you know, about an hour ago. And what had happened was, in my mind, I think because we crossed the 4650 level on the S&Ps, on the S&P futures, where there's a big expiring short open interest. What happens is whoever's short those puts then has to rehedge. Whoever's long the puts may want to rehedge as well. But you start to see these distorting effects, because once you go through strikes, if you're long, you want to buy low, sell high. If you're short, you kind of are forced to do the opposite if you want to stay hedged. And that's where you get markets sort of lurching in and out around expiration, because these effects get magnified. I'm not going to go into the math now, but the effects get highly magnified the closer you get to expiration. We're seeing it every week because weekly options are incredibly popular. But as you noted, today being a quarterly expiration with futures and index options, as well as equity options expiring today, it tends to turbocharge moves. When the public is long the options and the pros are short the options, you tend to see those moves get turbocharged up or down. We're seeing a little bit of selling, and that's turbocharged at least this morning's activity.
Is this an underappreciated risk in the market right now?
Yep. Rather than giving you a one-word answer, let me give you a big one. Yes, because I think going forward, one of the things that I'm thinking about for 2022 is I think we need to expect more volatility. I think it's unrealistic to think that a liquidity-driven market that has really seen nothing but continual fiscal and monetary stimulus flowing in, I think it would be a little unrealistic to think that as that flows out, that you won't get hiccups. Today this week might actually be sort of the first of those hiccups, but I don't think you really start to see it until the taper is done or the taper really gets into motion behind us. But that's going to cause hiccups, air pockets. And I think as more people are involved in trading, you're going to see them. And one other thing to keep in mind, roughly a third of the people, give or take, haven't seen anything other than this extraordinary bull market. I think, you know, around the street, it's about a third of new accounts have been opened since March of 2020. It's this completely unusual economic environment, but they've come to assimilate that as what they know for trading. And this is not a knock, but it's something you have to get educated about if you are a new investor, that the Fed isn't always a tailwind, that fiscal policy isn't always a tailwind, and that you can get market hiccups. And I think the market's going to have to get used to that going forward. And as people are involved in options, you can use them to speculate, you can use them to hedge, and come up with strategies that sort of have a little of each. But I think this is a time to be thinking about options more as a hedge or an income strategy than just outright speculation, which has been a very popular and profitable strategy for many.
Steve, I would say a hiccup is coming or has come to shares of Rivian. And the stock is the top ticker on the Yahoo Finance site right now. It's getting pasted down about 10% after their report last night, lost over $1.2 billion. But to your point, is this market reaction to a report out of Rivian, a retail investor favorite, a sign that names like this, these very speculative companies here that traded up during the frenzy during the summer and even before that, these trades are not going to work next year when the Fed might be lifting interest rates?
I think it'll be harder for these type of trades to work. I think you've gotten a lot of speculative trading. Of course, now somebody's doing work. I hope you can't hear that. You get a lot of speculative trades because of these negative real interest rates, because of the incredibly loose monetary policy that we've been a part of. You know, would we have this NFT frenzy if we had positive real interest rates? I'm going to say no. And I think that leads to when speculation has been rampant, it tends to end in a fairly nasty, unattractive way. That's unfortunate for people who have been chasing a lot of these names.
Man, we are ready to go back to the office, aren't we, Steve Sosnick, Interactive Brokers Chief Strategist. Thanks so much for being here. And as always, thank you for your insight. Happy holidays if we don't see you, Steve.